You're listening to Upfront. I'm Brian Edwards-Tiegert, and we are joined now in studio by Dinah Becton, District Attorney of Contra Costa County. She's the first African-American and the first woman to hold that office. Initially, she was appointed to replace a district attorney taken out over corruption charges. She then ran for that office as a reformer, won her election despite the opposition from every single police union in Contra Costa County. Dinah Becton, it's very exciting to have you in with us.
I'm excited to be here. Good morning.
Good morning.
So I wanted to start by talking to you about what your race was like, because there was a wave of reformers running for district attorney seats across the country and in California. You were the only one who won. So first of all, like, why do you think all the police unions came out against you?
Well, it's an interesting thing to talk about, and I don't think there's one very, very simple answer. I think we have to also recognize that at the time of my appointment, when I entered the race, the police unions were pretty much lined up already behind a candidate. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't necessarily expect that they would change their position just because I entered the race. So I think those decisions had been made. I understood that I had to run my campaign without the support of law enforcement at that point, and basically stuck to the principles that I thought were important, that the people cared about, and in the end, as we can see, I was successful. Since that time, though, it's been good, because we are now, you know, talking and healing those relationships and finding out the places that we can work in collaboration to bring about safety for our public, justice for our victims, and also making sure that we are working collaboratively together so that we're bringing the best service that we can to the people of Contra Costa County.
Well, let me flip it around. You ran on an extremely progressive agenda. Diversion programs to keep people out of jail and prison, alternatives to cash bail, aggressive investigation and prosecution of misconduct by police. Why do you think Contra Costa's voters went for that, went for you, over the institutional opposition you faced?
Again, I think a number of factors, and I think also much of the platform that I ran on is something that people really wanted to see. They want to see something different in our criminal justice system. We've been doing things the same way for a really long time. And I think people were very, very clear that they wanted to see, one, some better outcomes for our youth. In Contra Costa County, we don't have any diversion programs. We don't use restorative justice practices that other jurisdictions have used and that have proven to be very successful in changing the pathway of our young people who are on what we might often refer to as that pipeline that leads them from our schools to our prisons. People definitely wanted to see something very different for the mentally ill in our criminal justice system. And people certainly understood that when we have 70% of the people in our local jails awaiting trial, many of them there because they can't afford to make bail, that we needed to do something different. And so although it's really been referred to as a reformer platform, I really think it's a common sense platform that people said, you know, we've been doing things a certain way. They really haven't worked. They haven't kept our communities safer. And we would like to see some things done differently so that our criminal justice system is one that's fair, that's equitable, that's just for everyone, and done in a way that we can still keep our communities safe and take care of the victims of crime.
Well, now that you're in the office for the long term, there is an issue that confronts a lot of district attorneys. You're the person to whom investigating police misconduct and prosecuting misconduct lands, but also for your day-to-day work, for making regular criminal charges stick, you need the cooperation of the police who made the arrest, who did the investigation. That's a tangled relationship. How's it working out for you?
I think it's working out fine. I think we all recognize, one, that we all have jobs to do, but two, the message that I've been sending over and over, I sent it during the campaign and I've sent it since I've been in office, is the message that number one is public safety, and that we all have to work collaboratively. We cannot solve our problems in a vacuum. And if we're not all at the table solving the problems for the people of Contra Costa County in the best way that we can, then we're not doing our jobs. And I think that message has been clear. It's been well received. And I think it's working out fine. I have a number of projects where I'm working collaboratively with law enforcement to bring about better services, to bring about greater public safety. And so I really don't see any barriers to moving forward in terms of working with law enforcement in Contra Costa County.
We're speaking to Dinah Becton. She is the newly elected district attorney of Contra Costa County, the first African-American and the first woman to hold that office. And if you live in Contra Costa and you've got questions for your DA, give us a call, 1-800-958-9008. 1-800-958-9008. Let's talk about what you're trying to get done. You spoke about jail diversion. What does that mean specifically? What do you set up to keep people out of incarceration?
A couple of things. So first, starting with our youth, because I think that's the first place where we're going to be able to roll out what I think is going to be an exciting partnership. A partnership, by the way, with law enforcement and with a community-based organization. We are working with a group called Impact Justice. They're already operating in in Alameda Counties, also San Francisco, and other places around the state to bring some alternatives to our young people who have maybe gotten slightly on a wrong path, but with some intervention, with programs, with redirection, can change their lives and get on a different path. And so we have formed a wonderful partnership. We're going to be piloting our first project for our young people in West County, working with the Richmond Police Department, working with a youth organization called RISE and Impact Justice. And so we'll be bringing some restorative justice techniques to Contra Costa County with and in each case we will seek out the voice of the victim to make sure that they're okay with participating or allowing us to proceed in this way. It will be a pre-filing program so that these are cases once the youth has successfully completed 6 to 9 months of an intensive program, the charges will be dismissed and hopefully we'll have them on a new path. So we've certainly been working on that for our young people. Very excited that very soon we'll be able to bring that to fruition. In addition, there's another thing that happens, and I've been working with a subcommittee of law enforcement chiefs from a few cities around Contra Costa. And by the way, we work with 19 cities in Contra Costa County and 25 different law enforcement agencies. And so I have a subcommittee of that group that I'm working with to take a look at all of the low-level nonviolent misdemeanor cases that come through our system. And what we've been recognizing in our committee is that these kinds of cases are truly overburdening our system and taking up resources that we might be able to use in other ways to keep our community safe. So we're working collaboratively to come up with pre-filing programs where we'll be able to divert some of these will now be adult cases away from our criminal justice system in a way that still holds people accountable, but also keeps our community safe, but keeps these cases away from the criminal justice system.
Dinah Becton is the district attorney of Contra Costa County, newly elected, the first African-American, and the first woman to hold that office. You got questions for her? 1-800-958-9008. The greatest source of power that any district attorney has is prosecutorial discretion. You get to decide what to charge and what to drop. What are you doing differently? What cases are you not taking?
Mm-hmm. So we haven't made a specific announcement on that yet, but certainly we are moving, as I talked about with our misdemeanor cases, to a place where we will likely have certain cases that we will say for sure these are cases that should be diverted away from our criminal justice system, and we're developing a list of those cases. But also,
you mean like categories of cases
That we'll be diverting away pre-filing from our criminal justice system, and also working along with law enforcement to come up with a list of cases or case types, I should say, that we're very, very unlikely to file, especially, you know, some of the lower level crimes that make our way to our system, but most likely are ones that are not going to be filed. So we're working with law enforcement to develop that list. I'm hesitant to call out specific crimes here. I don't have that list in front of me, but certainly there will be an announcement soon about the kinds of things that will most likely not be filed in Contra Costa County.
Sure. The example for policy people has been like nonviolent drug misdemeanors. So let me ask you kind of a question about how the structure of law enforcement works. If you, as the DIA, say you have a policy that you're not going to bring charges in something like nonviolent drug misdemeanors, do you think that changes the way your community is policed? Do the police take the signal that it's not worth bringing people in the first place? Mm-hmm. Because the two nights someone spends in jail before they get arraigned can cost them their job,
sure.
can cost them relationships, can have mm-hmm. a huge impact on their life before you ever get involved in the process.
Mm-hmm. It's an excellent question. And that's why I think it's important for us to work in coordination with law enforcement. We actually have a program that unfortunately, everything that comes out that's new, we generally have to pilot it in a small part of our community before it rolls out for everyone. But for example, out in East County in Antioch, we have just started piloting a program called COCO Lead. And it is very much designed to reach the population that you're speaking about. The lower level offenses, repeat offenders, perhaps low level drug offenses, perhaps those who might have mental health problems. And it allows law enforcement at that step to divert the person away from our criminal justice system and right into services. And so not necessarily making an arrest, not putting that person in jail, but recognizing there's a need, there's a drug problem where there's a need for assistance, or there's a mental health problem, there's a need for assistance, and being able to take that person and divert them directly into services as an alternative to incarceration and as an alternative to filing charges. So we're piloting that, and we're hoping that it will be successful. We have a control part of our county where we'll be able to look at the numbers to see if these practices actually work, and then we'll be able to expand to other parts of our county.
Well, Dinah Becton, let's hear from some of your constituents. The phone number, folks, 1-800-958-9008. First on the line, we've got Dee Dee in Martinez. Good morning, Dee Dee.
Hi, this is Dee Dee from Martinez. I just wanted to know, because I live in Martinez, and, you know, a lot of what the community is concerned about, you know, we have jail downtown, and then we get there's a large homeless population, individuals who maybe have substance use disorder, and it seems like there's a revolving door. They're homeless. Area, what do you think you can do as a DA?
Gigi, you're breaking up really bad.
I think so I can summarize.
Yeah, we think your question is, what do you do about a revolving door for low-level offenses? But mm-hmm. if you want to try to find a place where there are more bars on your phone, we will let you re-ask the question. While you try to do that, let's ask Dinah Becton to take
when she'd also
that.
Highlighted that there's this big jail downtown and resources going into the jail, but insufficient resources going into other services, and there's this revolving door of people mm-hmm. getting stuck in the jail system mm-hmm. and not being able to move their way into services.
Yeah, thank you so much for the question. And that's exactly the population that we're talking about with the program that I just mentioned called COCO Lead. Because and it also goes hand in hand with the work that we're going to be doing going forward to address the mentally ill in our community. One of the things that we recognize, and this is not unique to Contra Costa County, is that when we are talking about being able to provide assistance to the mentally ill, we're generally talking about three specific things that keep people in that cycle. One, obviously, is the mental illness itself. Two is homelessness. And then three is the drug addiction. And so we have to have programs that address all three of those problems if we're going to change that cycle that people are in. The COCO Lead program that we're piloting out in Antioch is designed to do just that, to help people be redirected into services for mental illness, into services for their drug problems, etc. The other piece that we have to consider now is how we're going to be treating as well the mental I'm sorry, the homelessness. We are often partnered with a group that's been doing some outstanding service called the Core Group. They actually go out in teams into our community and assess the needs of our homeless population. So we're going to be working, especially as we have legislation that's moving forward to identify those places where we have gaps in our county. In fact, we already have a day where we're going to be working together collaboratively with all of our justice partners, law enforcement, the district attorney, public defender, community groups, mental health providers, et cetera, where we're all going to be talking about where in our criminal justice system we might intersect with a person that has mental illness, what services we have at each point, and what are the gaps that need to be addressed so that we can identify the services that we need to put in place. So I want you to know that even though it's something that we see every day, especially the homelessness and the drug addiction, it is something that we're definitely working on and we're moving forward. It's a big problem in Contra Costa County, and it's not going to allow for a very simple, narrow solution. It's going to require all of us working together collaboratively and also pursuing the dollars and the money that we need to put housing in place, to put services in place so that we can address the needs of that population.
This is the question I was actually going to turn to is, you know, the money. What you're talking about is a long-held dispute in policy between prevention and care and services versus what's called deterrence, putting the fear of jail or putting people in jail, and where the resources go. So the resources for restorative justice, the resources for Coco Lee, how hard is it going to be to switch that the money funnel to go to prevention and services?
I think one of the things we're going to find, of course, I can't say for sure that this is going to happen, but we can, first of all, look to models in other counties. I visited the model that we have in Los Angeles County, visited one of my staff has also visited Florida, where they also have a very, very strong program that combines all of the resources. And so, again, the importance, and I think what LA County did so well, is to bring all of the folks together at one table to discuss the problem, because it doesn't start in the DA's office. It doesn't start in the police department. It doesn't start, you know, with a person that serves the mentally ill. It means that all of us have to stop working in vacuums. We have to all come together and approach this in a holistic way. So the first thing that LA County did once they identified where those gaps in services were for this particular community is everybody came together to say, this is what we need, went to the Board of Supervisors and got their first seed money to be able to fund the program. And then certainly there are foundations, there are nonprofits, there are actually people who are willing, there are grants that we can pursue, willing to put money into these kinds of programs that will help us address the problem. AB 1810, which is moving, which is actually law already, but it's being possibly tweaked a little bit, is another place where we're going to be able to get money to serve the population of our mentally ill. There's some things that we want to see done a little bit differently with that legislation, but generally speaking, I think there's a recognition that we have to be able to bring resources to the table if we're going to address this problem. And the resources I'm talking about are the funds to do everything that we need to do. So I think the tide's turning.
Yeah, let's bring one more of your constituents into our conversation. We've got Robert on the line from Richmond. Good morning.
One thing I'd like to ask about is what kind of control you have over the police, because ever since Trump was elected, you notice when they step out of their car and walk towards you, they pull that gun belt just a little bit higher. And out in Contra Costa County, you've got something called the Oath Keepers, which is a bunch of cops and judges that get together socially to rig the system. And it's really like agents provocateur out there trying to make trouble more than solve problems.
Well, I think generally the question is, what are you doing to ensure accountability from the police departments under your jurisdiction?
Mm-hmm. Good question. So in Contra Costa County, and I'm going to focus my attention on officer-involved shootings, because that's generally where this question is headed, and we know that around the country, we definitely have had a need for some greater accountability with respect to officer-involved shootings, especially as it relates to certain segments of our population. We've had way too many African-American young men lose their lives in this way. But in Contra Costa County, what we work with is we, first of all, have a protocol that's been adopted by all of the law enforcement agencies in Contra Costa County. And it's a protocol that requires, for example, when there is a fatality at the hands of law enforcement, that protocol be invoked. One of the things that it calls for is once the agency is investigating that particular shooting, that my office is also has a team on the ground that's doing a co-investigation. So we have our own information that we are relying on in addition to what's happening with law enforcement.
We're going to have to continue that conversation another morning because the clock is a merciless tyrant.
And the music is playing on us.
Dinah Becton, thank you so much for coming in this morning.